to reign.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Tuesday night at Bible study, I had a question about Pastor Mueller's excellent sermon. Came up last week, and I was asked, what can we do to stay away from the materialism that Pastor warned us about last Sunday? It's a great question. My answer, however, wasn't very optimistic. It's too late. The problem is already in us. It's true that most of us do indeed consider cable or dish TV to be a necessity. For heaven's sake, I can barely imagine my life without Netflix nowadays. How sad. How sad indeed. So my answer was not in terms of what we do against something out there as if to ward it off, like maybe we could start up a special commune to protect ourselves, because you've all heard the saying, we have seen the enemy, and it is us. But rather, the answer, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the Lord's guidance against self. And to take hold of every single day of your life, take hold of your baptism into Christ. The day of your new birth, when you became one with Jesus. Crucify your sinful self. That's a daily call. Drown it, crush it, smash it, kill it, and rise up again in Christ to live in His life and His blood that covers all materialism and all of our sin, so that we are then moved to give what we have back to Jesus, the one who gave His all for us. The answer has always been Jesus. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But the split second that we see this truth before us about this new life, we begin to worry. This is the rest of the story. But what can I really do? Can I make that sacrifice? Won't I run out? What if I don't have enough left over for myself? If I don't live like the rest of the world and don't live for me, myself, and I, I'm going to lose. I'm going to miss out. I will be compromised. Haven't you heard? Don't you know? Says the world. This life is short. So we need to make the most of it. If you don't look out for yourself, who will? If you don't look out for number one, no one else is going to do it for you. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who use and those who let themselves be used. Let's face it. I'm not going to be used. I'm going to be a user. At least that way, I come out on top. It's the only way to live. It's the only way to go. And this point of truth, this point of view, true to the one who's been deceived, is one that leads to losing life altogether. We resist the truth so much. We fight against it every single day. But we're not here for ourselves. We are here to be like our Savior. We are here for those around us. When we learn this, when we finally get it, we finally begin to know the peace and joy of the Spirit of God, to know what life is all about. But in the meantime, because of our flesh that's hanging around our necks, we resist this truth every single day. That is, we want to embrace the devil's philosophy that there are only two kinds of people in this world. But it's fallacious. It commits the flaw of the excluded middle. There's another option. You can be one who serves. And yes, the one who serves gives away so much. But the one who serves receives so much back. And those who serve know Christ. The one who gave everything. The world can't see it. The flesh denies it. We want to go the other way because it seems so right to live only for ourselves and to love others only as long as we get something out of them. I can imagine our Lord looking at us with eyes of great compassion and asking you and me, how's that working out for you? Oh, you of little faith. As we hold to the things that turn to dust, we try to rationalize our desperate reason, but they aren't dust now. But hopefully someday we begin to understand that the only things worth living for are the things that last, the things that don't turn to dust. Can you even begin to imagine having everything, but then at the last facing death, everything you have is nothing without Jesus? Or on the other hand, even if you are poor, if you face the end with Christ, then you will receive the kingdom that goes on into the glorious manifestation of it, and you will have more than you have ever had. But we resist. So our Lord in His great love and mercy gives us Luke chapter 12. What a great chapter. It is the continuation of what we commenced last Sunday. We don't have to be like the rich fool. We don't need things. We don't need the things that turn to dust. We need the Lord. But again, our very next reaction, even after that reminder and realization, is to be anxious, to worry, to fear. Again, but what if I run out? What will be left? Over the years, I've been amazed at the tendency to hold on to certain things. You know what I'm talking about? The stuff in the attic, you know, that pile in your closet. The space in the garage is overflowing with boxes or whatever. We collect things. And speaking for myself, I got to tell you, I forget most of the stuff that I have stored. I don't miss it. I don't really need it. And yet I hoard it. Why? Are these things going to save my life? But that's the easy stuff. I mean, you can have a garage sale, and Tracy and I have been able to part with things fairly easily at those garage sales. But what about the day-to-day resources? This is where things get a bit more challenging. And at the same time, our Lord in Luke 12, well, much is certainly said about earthly treasures and our attitude towards those earthly treasures. This chapter is not just about that. Our Lord in Luke 12 also speaks about heavenly treasure. Jesus concludes today's gospel reading with the words, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He doesn't want us to merely consider our relationship to earthly treasure, but to consider our relationship with heavenly treasure. As we cut to the chase, the greatest heavenly treasure is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you have Christ and you do baptize Christian, then consider what He will do for you. Will you be forsaken? Never. Will you be left behind? Absolutely not. Will he stop providing for you? Not in a million years. So consider, and the word in the original, carefully and meticulously examine the ravens and the lilies. The Lord feeds these birds. He makes the flowers beautiful. And if he will do this for the birds and for the flowers that look better than King Solomon all decked out, what will he do for you? You who are so much more valuable than they. This is why he's telling us not to worry.
That's a word, worry. We hear a lot of it about that word. But here in this gospel, it is to live in such a way as to specifically to hover between hope and fear. To live that way. That vacillation between hope and fear. That's worry. Now, if we leave a person only staring at the one side, the earthly treasure, and that's all we're preoccupied with, and we tell that person, don't worry, it only gets worse. We continue to hover between hope and fear. We try to console such a one, and there's just more frustration. The cycle continues. But again, remember the other side. He presents to you the heavenly treasure. The other side of things is a glorious proclamation from Jesus to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's more to the words good pleasure than meets the ears. The good pleasure of our Heavenly Father is based upon his determined and established will for us. This good pleasure of God is already guaranteed. The kingdom of God for the Christian is not a far-off theoretical possibility, someday maybe. Instead, the kingdom of God has already been given to those who have faith in the King, like you and me. Spoken to the disciples elsewhere in the Word, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is in the midst of you already, and you are provided for." Among other things, this means the guarantee of provision for every need. Every need for the body, every need for the soul. Everything is covered, everything. Some of our best days as a married couple in seminary, we were pretty poor. I had a full course load, but I also worked part-time throughout seminary, except during vicarage. One afternoon after classes, I was getting ready to leave work. I was a salesman at Radio Shack in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And Tracy just wanted to give me a heads up before I went out the door. She said, "We're this amount of money short from covering this month's bills." We prayed. I went to work. That evening, I sold the computer system, and the commission from that sale was exactly what we needed to cover the bills for that month. Consider the ravens. And we are much more valuable than they. To be a child of God is to be richly blessed. On top of page 16, you see in the manuscript, it's the first full paragraph. Just please follow with me. I'm going to ask you to come in and read. I'll give you the cue. In that top paragraph on page 16, it says, Luther leads us to recognize just how much is included in our daily bread. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition. Let's read it together. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, you know, our catechism asks the question, what does this mean? So let's read the answer together. God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving.
And then the catechism further asks, what is meant by daily bread? Answer, let's read it together. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Behold how richly the Father pours out his blessings upon us, dear Christians. The fact that our bodies are strong enough to be here today, to live and breathe and have our being, to love our families, to share friendships, to live in this gorgeous place called Southern Cal. The list goes on. But there's yet more. To have the determined, established will, good pleasure of the Heavenly Father already set for you, dear Christian, means that you already have the heavenly gifts as well. You have Christ, Savior and Lord. Your sins are wiped away by His blood, which covers them. Even your death has been dealt with, so that when you die, you will yet live. The resurrection means your body will be gloriously restored. And you have the Holy Church to keep you in this true faith so that this bread and this wine keeps you united to your Savior, and it removes all fear, because that's what perfect love does to fear. We have great reason not to be anxious. We have great reason not to fear. We have been given the kingdom, and the love of God has destroyed fear. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel, the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, we pray for Barack, our president, for Jerry, our governor, for all legislators and judges, and all who work to promote safety in this land. We pray you grant them your wisdom and your guidance, that they may lead according to your will and guide us according to your principles. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them. Particularly, we remember Jesse Salinas, whose home recovering from surgery, and Tracy Espinosa's sister-in-law, Jen Martin, who's hospitalized with complications following surgery. Lay your hand of healing upon them, O Lord. Grant them and all who are in need of your care, your healing, and your presence. Bless all who work in medical care, and grant them your wisdom and guidance. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Pastor Espinosa, as he deliberates his call to St. Paul's and his call to the Kansas District, we pray that you give him your wisdom and guidance. O Lord, you are Lord of the Church, and we pray that you would make your will known, and that you would bless both this congregation and the congregations in Kansas, supplying all that they need, and that your will be done to your glory and to the good of your people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
You may be seated. As we gather our gifts and offerings, we ask that you fill out one of the worship attendance cards that's in the seats in front of you. And as you do, take some time to prepare for Holy Communion. Here in the sacrament, our Lord Jesus gives us his very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. All who commune share the faith of this congregation, have been baptized and confess their sins, gladly receiving forgiveness and grace from our Lord. If you're still learning about the sacrament, if you have a different confession, please come forward. Simply fold your arms as we come by so we can give you a blessing. Know that we're happy to speak further with you about the sacrament. God be with you as you prepare. Rise for the service of the sacrament. salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. The true body and true blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith and true life everlasting. Depart in peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ.